This is Fresh Brew with me, Jason Vandermark.
You know, it was a struggle. We were trying to look this past week for a meditation video on repentance. And sadly, I'll just be transparent with you, sadly, a lot of the Christian resources that we use for our meditation stuff, you couldn't find anything on repentance. And to me, it's a sad state when Christianity throughout the United States anyway, and maybe throughout the world, but Christianity has kind of been watered down to the point of you're okay, I'm okay, we're all okay. There's an issue there. And so when you can't find something on repentance and why you should repent and why you should turn your heart and your mind to Jesus and God, that's an issue. Somebody say, uh-oh. So we're going to talk today about 2 Chronicles 7. It says, if my people, does anybody know the verse? If my people would, let me get to it real quick. Who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. So if you have your Bible, we'll just go there real quick. If you have your Bible, let's go to 2 Chronicles 7. I want to show you some things. If you don't have your Bible and you want to scan that little QR code with your phone, it should take you right to 2 Samuel's in the Old Testament. We don't normally go there a lot, do we? Or 2 Chronicles, I'm sorry. So what was happening was Solomon was building a temple for the Lord. David wanted to build a temple for the Lord, and the Lord wouldn't allow it. So Solomon comes along, and he asks Solomon, or he has Solomon build him a temple. And so Solomon builds a temple. He also builds a royal palace. And 2 Chronicles 7 is all about the finishing up of this temple. In fact, verse 1 says, now when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. The glory of the Lord filled the house. Okay, so this is what I want you to catch. First of all, who built the temple? Solomon, right? Keep that in your mind. Solomon built the temple for the glory of the Lord. And then you go down, and Solomon made sacrifices, and you get down to verse 12. This is what I want to say, where I want to start. Verse 12 of chapter 7 says, then the Lord appeared to Solomon at night and said to him, I've heard your prayer, and I have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. If I shut up the heavens so that there's no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, verse 14, and my people who are called by my name may humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, somebody say then, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Now, he goes on to say, my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer offered in this place. For now I have chosen and consecrated this house that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. As for you, if you walk before me as your father David walked, even to do according to all that I have commanded you and will keep my statutes and my ordinances, then I will establish your royal throne as I covenanted with your father David, saying you shall not lack a man to be ruler in Israel. But if you turn away, forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I've set before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will uproot you from my land, which I have given you, and this house which I have consecrated for my name, I will cast out of my sight, and I will make it a proverb and a byword among all peoples. As for this house which was exalted, everyone who passes by it will be astonished and say, why has the Lord done thus to this land and to this house? Verse 22, and they will say, because they forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers who brought them out of the land of Egypt, and they adopted other gods and worshiped them and served them, therefore he has brought all this adversity on them. Now, who built the temple? Who was the first of the kings to go and chase other gods? Solomon. Okay, I want you to hold on to that because that's key. The Bible says, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves, pray, repent and whatnot, then God would come back and heal whose land? Let me say it. Their land. Whose land? Whose land? Whose land? So I want you to understand this. There's an importance to understanding who has the inheritance of the land. It was whose land? And the Bible says that if my people, whose people? If my people would humble themselves, would pray, would repent, I would come and heal their land. I want you to understand something. Let's go back to the very beginning of the Bible here. It says in Genesis 1 and verse 26, it says, God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them rule, somebody say rule, over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. And we talked last week a little bit about this. Does anybody remember what subdue means? Take control. Have dominion. So he's giving the land to whom? To man, to the people he's creating, right? He's giving it to them. Okay, so the land is theirs. He says, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. God said, I have given you, catch this, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of the earth and every tree which has fruit yielding seed. It shall be food for you. Then he says, verse 30, and to every beast of the earth and to every bird of the sky and to everything that moves on the earth which has life, I've given every green plant for food, and it was so. God saw that what he made, and behold, it was very good, and there was the evening, and there was the morning, the sixth day. Okay, who was given dominion? Man. Who was given provision? That's the big part. Who was given provision? Not just man, but the Bible said every beast, every bird, every animal, he was giving provision to them, correct? He was giving the plants and everything to them. So he gave provision to all creation, but he gave dominion to who? Okay, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, it brought evil and sin into the world. It brought sin into the world. And so who suffered? Not just man. All. Somebody say all. All creation suffered. And I can prove that to you. If we go down to Hebrews, did I put that in here? What kind of idiot put this together? In Hebrews, it says, or no, it was Romans, I'm sorry. And I did put it in here. I'm going to apologize to myself later. Look in the mirror. Jason, you're so good. I'm so sorry that I was an idiot to you. It's okay. Okay. Romans 8, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is revealed to us. For the anxious longing of the creation, of all creation, waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will also be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. So all creation had to suffer. Who had dominion? Man. But who had provision? Okay. When Israel was a nation, who owned the land? Jewish people, right? The Israelites. Do you know that there were foreigners in the land? So when God gave dominion, he gave dominion to who? The Jews. But he gave provision to who? All. Well, when Israel sinned, who suffered? All people. And we need to catch this because I think we have this weird mindset that about our nation that I want to kind of tackle. With great power, this is Spider-Man's quote, not Bible. With great power comes great You guys know that better than the Bible. What the heck? Yabba dabba doo. With great power comes great responsibility. When the Jewish people suffered, or when the Jewish people were disobedient with God, not just the Jewish people suffered, but all in the land suffered. Everybody who had provision suffered. Now, not everybody believed in God in the land. Somebody say, uh-oh. But I want to tell you that because of God's people obeyed God, there was provision for even those who didn't believe. Okay? There was provision for the foreigner. That's important. So I want to take you to 1 Chronicles. I'm going to drive this point home. 1 Chronicles and 21. So if you were in 2 Chronicles, it's just one book back. I promise you. 1 Chronicles and 21, and we'll start with the very first verse. It said, "Then Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel." I'm going to stop there for a second because this is the scariest statement of this whole chapter. Then Satan stood up against Israel and he moved David to number Israel. Now, I want you to catch this because I looked up that word and I thought, now certainly this was not like what I'm thinking it is. And it was what I'm thinking it is. That word for moved literally means to entice, to move, to woo, to, I don't know how else to say it, but to entice and to woo and to move somebody's heart to do something. Satan moved David's heart. That is an uh-oh. Satan wooed David. Something about whatever Satan did caused David to go, "That's a really good idea, Satan. That's a really great idea. Let's go number and take a census and number the land." Satan grabbed a hold of David's heart. I'll ask you, has Satan grabbed a hold of your heart? Satan wooed David, caressed his heart to number Israel. So David said to Joab and to the princes of the people, "Go number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan and bring me word that I may know their number." And Joab said, "May the Lord add to his people 100 times as many as they are, but my lord the king, are they not all the Lord's servants? Why does my lord seek this thing? Why should he be a cause of guilt to Israel?" Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab, and therefore Joab departed and went throughout all Israel and came to Jerusalem. Joab gave the number of the census of all the people to David. All the people were 1,100,000 men who drew the sword, and Judah was 470,000 men who drew the sword. But he did not number Levi and Benjamin among them, for the king's command was abhorrent to Joab. God was what? Displeased. Okay, God was displeased with this thing, so he struck who? He struck... God was displeased with one man's act. One man's act, yeah. One man's act, and who did he strike? Everybody. Everybody suffered. So because of one man's act, God came, and it says he was displeased, so he struck Israel. David said to God, "I have sinned greatly in that I've done this thing, but now please take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done foolishly." And so the Lord spoke to Gad, David's seer, saying, "Go and speak to David, saying, thus says the Lord, I offer you three things. Choose for yourself one of them, which I will do to you." So Gad came to David and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, take for yourself either 3 years of famine." Who's that going to affect? 3 months to be swept away before your foes while the sword of your enemies overtakes you. Who's going to be affected by that? Everybody. Or else 3 days of the sword of the Lord, even pestilence in the land and the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the territory of Israel. Who's affected? Now, therefore, consider what answer I shall return to him who sent me. And David said to Gad, "I'm in great distress. Please let me fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, but do not let me fall into the hand of man." So the Lord sent pestilence on Israel, and how many people died? 70,000 men of Israel fell, and God sent an angel to Jerusalem to destroy it. And he was about to destroy it, and the Lord saw And the Bible says he was sorry, he was repentant over the calamity, and said to the destroying angel, "It is enough, now relax your hand." And the angel of the Lord was standing by the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. David lifted up his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord standing between heaven and earth with his drawn sword in his hand stretched over Jerusalem. David and the elders covered with sackcloth fell on their faces, and David said to God, "Is it not I who commanded to count the people? Indeed, I'm the one who has sinned and done very wickedly, but these sheep, what have they done? Lord God, please let your hand be against me and my father's household, but not against your people, that they should be plagued." So, again, the scariest line is Satan moved David's heart. But the Bible says that Satan was meant to attack who? All Israel. So he, in order to attack all of Israel, he went straight to the source, and that is who? David. So when he went to David, he knew if he could get David to sin, that it would cause it when, and it would wreak havoc into all the land, right? How many of you remember that scam text message that went out supposedly from me? So somebody played on you, right, and said, "This is Pastor Jason, and I need your help." Now, some of you were ready to do it, weren't you? Some of you took it. I won't tell you how far Nick took it, but some of you took it to an extreme. And when that text came out, some of you were ready to help, and that was the thing. Just like Satan did for David, wound him to the point of saying, "This is something that should be done," and David bit. He took the bait, and he ran with it. And because he ran with it, the whole nation suffered. And that is why the people who have dominion, who did God create the land for? People, his people. The people who have dominion, when they disobey, when they turn from God, when they walk away, then the whole land suffers. So this is why the Bible says, if my people, whose people? Who are called by my name, will humble themselves, will pray, will repent, then I will come and heal what? Part of the land? Whose land? Their land. Who gets the provision? Everybody. If you want to know what's going on in the United States today, if you want to know why our nation isn't healed, it's because God's people need to repent. Not because there are people who don't believe and who are acting in their unbelief. That's not it. It's the people who know better and who, because apparently we have been founded as a Christian nation, right? Apparently when we were signing contracts and documents, we were saying this is a nation under God, correct? Well, if this is a nation under God, and if this is a nation that God gave to his people, somebody say his people, then if they are the ones who are disobeying, what's going to happen to the land? It's destroyed, right? But if God's people would turn, and that's what I think we need to grab a hold of, if God's people would turn, if God's people would humble themselves, if God's people would get on their knees and seek and pray and repent, what would happen to this whole land? And who would gain the provision? All. Not just the believers, but everybody. The whole of the United States could be healed if God's people would repent. Not if unbelievers would come to know Jesus, if God's people would turn from their wickedness and turn back to him. And let me say this, and this is the encouraging part, this is the take home. Is that when Israel was, because Israel kept going and going and they kept chasing after other gods, it would get better. It would be like one step forward and then three steps back, one step forward, four steps back. And it would keep going that way until finally one day God said, "Enough, I'm done with it. They're out. They have 70 years of exile." And he told Jeremiah, "After 70 years, if my people would seek me with their whole heart, I will come and I will reverse their exile and I will bring them back into the land." And I want to say this. If you read Daniel chapter 9, It took one man. Somebody say one man. It took one man to get on his knees and pray for himself, for his people, and for a whole nation. Now, my question to you is this. What if God is waiting on you to do that? What if God is waiting on you to get on your knees, to seek Him, to turn from whatever you're going through, and to give it all to Him? What if God is waiting for you to be the one to say, Lord, come heal our land. Confess that we're sinners. I confess that we've done wrong. I confess that I've done wrong. I confess that our people have done wrong. I confess that God's people have been acting wickedly. And I pray that you would come, forgive us, and heal our land. One man it took to heal, to do that. One man. Is that one person you? That's my take home. Is that one person you? I pray that you would consider that for yourself. I pray that you would consider that maybe there are some things that I need to turn from. Maybe I need to consider surrendering to the Lord. Maybe I need to consider giving it all to Him. Maybe I need to consider that my ways are not that great. Maybe I need to consider that the things that I do might not be the things that God wants me to do. But if I would turn to Him, that maybe, just maybe, there might be a healing in this life.
This has been Fresh Brew with me, Pastor Jason Vandermark.